For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Let's take our Bibles and turn, well, you just turn about anywhere. I feel like preaching this morning. But anyway, 1 Samuel chapter 30 this morning in the Old Testament. Aren't you glad for the Old Testament? And it does, there are great truths across the Old Testament. And man, I'm excited about what's coming up in May, aren't you? And June, all this happening, day camp coming up. By the way, we have our baby dedication day on June 13th. And so if you'd like to dedicate your children to the Lord, we'll have a very special day on that Sunday morning. And looking forward to all that the Lord's given us to do. There's a lot to do, isn't there? There's a lot to do. I almost feel like I should preach my Mother's Day sermon today. That was a great song. Thank you. And virtuous woman. You know, God's still searching. People are still searching for virtuous women. I'm glad there are many out there and still some virtuous men, godly men. And this morning, I'm going to turn to what to many of you should probably is a very familiar passage of Scripture. And 1 Samuel chapter 30, and I'd like to begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 6. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites, remember them? The Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag. Now the Amalekites were still here because of King Saul's failed responsibility. If you'll read back in 1 Samuel chapter 15, he was supposed to take care of that problem and did not. And because of that, they were a continual thorn in the flesh of the Israelites. The Amalekites are a type of the flesh. The Bible speaks about then came Amalek. Amalek was a ruthless nomadic tribe that raided the crops of the Israelites and never built anything, never planted anything, never did anything of any value. They just raided and plundered and a great type of the flesh. They would attack the weakest of the Israelites and many times attack during the weakest time. And so you always have to guard against Amalek, don't you? And so here are the Amalekites still hanging around. And it says, David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. That was like the Amalekites. That's what they would do. That's how they acted. That's how they lived. And not only that, but look in verse 2. They'd taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small. I'm surprised they hadn't. But they carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city. David's mighty men. David's 600 mighty men. They came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. You ever been there? And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Wasn't his fault necessarily, because the soul of all the people was grieved. You know, people do things that they would not normally do when they're distressed and grieved and brokenhearted, when they're in an emotional state. Every man for his sons, they were grieved, and every man for his daughters were grieved. But I want you to notice, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd add your blessing to the singing, to the fellowship, the good report we heard from Brother Witt. Thank you for what you're doing across our state. And Lord, I know it all begins in the home. It all begins with the family. Thank you for our church family. Lord, I pray we'd strengthen these ties here today. For those that may find themselves today, Lord, in Ziklag. Lord, as we look at your word, how do we get out of Ziklag, escaping Ziklag? I pray you'd help me to be a blessing and help in Jesus' name. Save the lost, Stir your people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an amazing story in the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 30. How do we get there? How did David find himself in Ziklag? I mean, of all places, a Philistine stronghold. How did David find himself there? Why would David be in Ziklag? Why would he have his family in Ziklag? And how did he get there? Obviously, it wasn't the place of God's choosing that he be in Ziklag. You know, there are times that you and I find ourselves in Ziklag. We find ourselves there. The truth is, David was out of the will of God here. David had gone across the fence, if you will. Dr. Tom Wallace used to preach a message on the wrong side of the log. And David was on the wrong side of the log, if you will. He was on the wrong side of the fence. How does David find himself in Philistine territory, their age-old enemies, their ancient enemies, and he's presiding over a place called Ziklag, and he's serving a king named Achish when David really should be the king of Israel? Well, look back in chapter 27, and I want to give you just a little background as we get into the message today. As you know, David had fallen on the wrong side of King Saul. David was lifelong friends with Jonathan, Saul's son, the prince of Israel. David was God's choosing for Israel's king. Israel had other things in mind. They said, we'd like to have a king. And God said, well, I'm going to give you a king, but I want you to wait for my timing. God's timing is always the best. And they did not want to wait, so they wanted a king. So they chose King Saul. And he started out very humble. He looked the part of a king. He was head and shoulders taller than everyone else. And I've never felt that way myself. And but anyway, he was head and shoulders. He was humble. When they went to find him to anoint him king, he hid among the stuff. He's a very humble man. But through envy and jealousy and bitterness toward young David, King Saul fell on the wrong side of things, got out of the will of God, ended up consulting a witch at Endor in chapter 28 of 1 Samuel. It's an amazing thing. What happens when people get out of the will of God? And it all begins sometimes with just like that little fox. That little sin, that little thing that we neglect and leave alone. David threw, really it was his fault, but King Saul pushed him over the edge. When David slew Goliath, he came back and people were singing his praises. Saul has slain his thousands, David his ten thousands. King Saul was a good politician. He could count votes. And he thought, well, it won't be long till this young whippersnapper is going to be wanting my throne. Truth is, David was very loyal to King Saul. His best friend was his son. One day they were at dinner and King Saul threw a javelin and tried to kill David, and he had to leave their home and leave their family and was exiled, all of that. He was chasing him ruthlessly through the wilderness, trying to kill him. And David comes to a place in his life, he just says, look, there's going to be a day he's going to kill me. So we come to chapter 27 and verse 1. David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. Now, when you get into a certain place in your life where you get all emotional, you get all torn up, and the devil's beaten you up, and he's bombarded you, and maybe friends have forsaken you, and you're just not where you should be, and you begin to give yourself counsel that's the wrong counsel. Now, later David, in chapter 30, he says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But how did he get down to Ziklag? He's sitting around one day, and he said in his heart, and that's why we should guard our heart, keep our heart with all diligence for out of the issues of life. David had a juniper tree moment. Just like Elijah sitting under a juniper tree and said, God, just go ahead and take my life. And it wasn't his life to give. It was God's. And he says, I shall now perish one day. And he said, there's nothing better for me than to go down and to live among the Philistines. That's the dumbest thing you could say. I mean, there's nothing better for me than to go live among the Philistines. God's chosen man. A man after God's own heart. The sweet psalmist of Israel. And he says, there's nothing better for me than to go down and I'm going to go down and live among and identify with the Philistines. And he convinced himself of that. And notice what it says here in verse 2, and David arose and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maoch, king of Gath. We all have influence, don't we? Not only did he go, but notice the 600 mighty men that would have and did fight through the ranks to get their leader a drink of water followed him to the Philistine stronghold. Not only that, but his two wives, we could cover that in another message, but his wives followed him. His family followed him. His children followed him. When you and I get out of the will of God, not only does it affect us, but it affects those around us. We all have influence. Isaiah says this, he said, thou art a nail fastened in a sure place. Someone is hanging on your life and your testimony. All of us have influence. All of us. If you quit, someone else will quit. If you give up, someone else will give up. If you get out of the will of God, if I get out of the will of God, my wife will be out of the will of God. If I get out of the will of God, this church may be out of the will of God. Someone is hanging on you. David said, best thing for me to do, just leave. You know, when you don't know what to do, the best thing to do is to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. When you don't know what to do, having done all, stand. I mean, you don't know much about what's out there, but you do know about this. You say, well, this is a mess. It might be a greater mess out there in the Philistine camp of Ziklag. And David said, I think I'll go live among the Philistines. What a dumb decision. His friends go with him. His family goes with him. His fighters go with him. And he said in verse 5, David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Now I read this over and over again and I thought, what is David saying here? Does he really mean that? You know what I think? At first as I read that, I thought, David said, I think I'm just going to retire. Just put me out here in the country. Give me a bass pond somewhere. And I'll go out there. I won't bother you, Achish. If you need me to fight, I'll come out and draw the sword with you. But just give me a little place out on the back corner. You know why I think he was asking for this? I think David, in his wisdom, even though he was on the wrong side of the law and getting out of the will of God, I think David thought, if he'll put me all the way down there in Ziklag, then I can kind of be out of sight, out of mind. I could lead some raids and still do some damage for God Almighty. I can still get the job done. I may not have to lift sword against my fellow people of Judah. I may not have to fight. But you know, when you get on the wrong side of the fence, sooner or later, you're going to have to make decisions you would not have had to make if you'd have stayed in the will of God. And so he gives him Ziklag. And the Bible says he was there 16 months in verse 7. And he did lead, he led raids against the Israelites' enemies. Achish didn't know that. It says in verse 8, he led raids against the Gezerites and the Amalekites, for those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land. And David smote the land or attacked the land, and Achish said, whither have you made a road today? And David lied, verse 10. David said, well, I against the south of Judah, against your enemy, O king. And David saved neither man nor woman alive, so they couldn't give testimony of who had attacked them. And I want you to notice in verse 12, and Achish believed David, saying, he hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him. Therefore he shall be my servant forever. You know what Achish was saying? This Philistine king, he was saying, I own him. That's a bad place to be. The only person ought to own you is the Lord Jesus. We ought to say to the devil, I'm not for sale. The devil doesn't own me. Achish doesn't own me. The Amalekites don't own me. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Achish said, I own him. I own the sweet psalmist of Israel. And he had great confidence in him. So he gave him Ziklag. That's how David ended up down here in Philistine territory. He'd been out on a raiding party. He'd been out on doing battle. He comes back, and in the distance, he sees the smoke coming up from Ziklag. The Amalekites had raided the town, had burned the city, burned it down, kidnapped their wives and children. And they came in there, and David finds himself not only on the wrong side of the log and the wrong side of the fence, out of the will of God in Philistine territory. Now he's lost his wives. He's lost his family. He's lost the confidence of the people. He lost just about everything. And when we get out of the will of God, God will find a place where he'll get us. It may be in Ziklag, but he will meet with us there, and he'll get us to the point where we'll have to turn to him, and every knee shall bow. But it'd be a lot better if your knee would bow to Jesus today. You say, preacher, I'm in Ziklag. Well, there's a way out of Ziklag. If you're in Ziklag this morning, number one, I want you to notice what David did. In chapter 30 and verse 6, David in Ziklag came. The city had been burned with fire. Abigail was gone. Ahinoam was gone. Their children were gone. They were picking up stones to stone him. And David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. When you get to the point in your life, and when I get to the point in my life, and there are many times like this, you may not even be out of the will of God. You might be in the will of God. But there comes a time where you and I just have to give counsel to ourselves and counsel ourselves and say, I need to encourage myself in God. That's what David did. What do you do when people throw stones at you? You encourage yourself in the Lord your God. David had no one. He had no one. Jonathan was gone. King Saul was still looking for him. King Saul actually believed that he was gone, that he'd never come back. He was glad to see him gone. David had no one. David drew a circle around himself there and encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Notice it says his God. When we get to the times in our lives, we may not be out of the will of God in Ziklag, but we might be. But wherever we are in our lives, we'd better make sure the Lord is our God. What was it the Bible says in Psalm 23? When David's son Absalom had broken his heart and had died, David wrote the 23rd Psalm. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. Is he your shepherd? When you come to Ziklag and when you come to a place where friends have forsaken you and the enemies are attacking and you feel all alone in this world, I want you to know you can encourage yourself in the Lord, your God. Your God. You better make sure he's your God. He's your shepherd. Your shepherd. Whether in Ziklag or Jerusalem, you will sooner or later find yourself in David's place. Although he was on the wrong side, he immediately knew where to go for help. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. May I say this? You and I are never really alone. I mean, look around here today. You've got family. You've got church family. You've got people praying for you. I mean, yesterday as I went to the hospital, went by the nursing home, and it was just emotional for me yesterday. I don't know why. It's been so long since I've been able to go to the hospital, but I just wept going down in the car and wept coming back, and I just thought of folks that are getting ready to go to heaven, and I didn't weep as others which have no hope. But you know, you think about this: we're never alone. The Spirit of God, the Holy, sweet Comforter, the Paraclete, the Lord Jesus Himself in the form of the Holy Spirit. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. Oh, friend, encourage yourself in the Lord your God. You might feel like you're all alone. Well, you're not. As a child of God, you have the Spirit of God living in you. That's why Jeremiah one day said, he said, I think I'll just quit. And he said, there was a fire in my bones. I could not stay. I couldn't quit. I think of Joseph one day down there in the bottom of the well. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Joseph had a relationship with God. And when Joseph met Potiphar's wife there, I mean, he was one out of probably 10,000 that would have said no to Potiphar's wife. But you know what he did? He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And secondly, he inquired of the Lord. Look in verse 8. It says in verse 7, David said to Abiathar, the priest Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Unlike Joshua when he faced Ai, after a great victory, by the way, in Jericho. But he did not inquire of the Lord. And 36 men died in a battle they should have conquered easily. But David inquired at the Lord. You know, when we encourage ourselves in the Lord, we'll go to God with our problems. We will inquire of the Lord. He encouraged himself. Secondly, he inquired of the Lord. If you go to God, God has a way of meeting us. David, like Joseph of old, Joseph didn't make the decision not to commit adultery at the moment she was tugging on his robe. He had made that decision years before. Joseph said, God forbid that I should sin against Potiphar. God forbid that I should sin against my Lord. God forbid that I should sin and hurt my testimony. David here encouraged himself in God, and secondly, he inquired of God. I know it sounds awfully simplistic, but if we're going to get out of Ziklag, if we're going to get our joy back, if we're going to get back and find the will of God, then we're going to have to ask God what His will is. Look in verse 8. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And I want you to notice the next four words. Verse 8, 1 Samuel chapter 30. And he answered him. It's an amazing thing that God answered him. He said, shall I pursue? Immediately God said, yes, pursue them. I'm going to give you victory over them. I mean, that the God of heaven would answer my prayer and your prayer. What is man that thou art mindful of him? He said, shall I go after them? Shall I chase them? Shall I go? I mean, they're picking up stones to stone me. I like what Jeremiah said, call unto me and I'll answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And he answered him, one word, pursue. Yes, go. Verse 8, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Bezor, where there those that were left behind stayed. And number 3, David pursued. He encouraged himself. He inquired of the Lord. And then he acted on what God told him to do. I think sometimes, you know, we all need counsel. We all need counsel. The truth is, our Savior's a wonderful counselor. He's a wonderful counselor. And if God's Word says it, why don't we just do it? Why don't we just do it? I know there are gray areas and cloudy areas, and sometimes we don't know which way to go. But once David got the green light, he pursued after the enemy. I want you to notice, he pursued after the enemy with a third of his host gone. He had 600 mighty men, and a third of them were so tired that they stayed behind. 200 of them. Out of the 600, 200 stayed behind. And I don't think they were slackers at all. The truth is, these 600 men were mighty men, and they were loyal to King David. And if there were 200 of them that were so tired and so worn out and so battle beaten up that they couldn't go, I promise you, they couldn't go. I'm talking about some men. I'm talking about God's men. I'm talking about men. I'm talking about men. Amen. And he said in verse 10, David pursued after them. You say, how do you know the will of God, Brother Rick? Let the Word of God guide you. Let the peace of God indwell in you. Let the Word of God be embedded in your mind and heart. And let the will of God be known by open doors, the peace of God, obeying the Word of God. And notice here, it says there were 200 that were so faint they could not go over the brook, and they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. If you're trying to get out of Ziklag, encourage yourself. You're not the first one to get over there. If you're trying to get out of Ziklag, ask the Lord about it. Spend time with God. Get God's direction. If you're trying to get out of Ziklag, once God gives you direction, act on it. Isn't the Bible simple? David pursued. And notice, they found an Egyptian. It would have been easy once they found that that Egyptian had raided Ziklag and had been part of the Amalekite invasion. It would have been easy just to go ahead and kill him and leave him aside. They began to interrogate that Egyptian. They gave him some food. He was so battle-wrought that he couldn't even hold his head up. I want to remind you that God fed Elijah with the ravens, and God directed David through an Egyptian enemy. Once he was revived with some water and some food and a couple of Chick-fil-A sandwiches, the Bible says in verse 14, he says, we burned Ziklag with fire. At least he was honest. He realized he was at the mercy of his enemy. And he negotiated a little bit there. David said, can you tell me where the enemy is? Can you tell me where my family is? Isn't it amazing that God used an Egyptian testimony to give them a victory? If God fed Elijah with the ravens, bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, God will take care of you. If God grew a gourd and shaded Jonah, who is out of the will of God, God will take care of you. If God fed the Israelites in the wilderness with manna and then later quail, the lowest cholesterol of all meats, God will take care of you. And the Bible says that once they found out, notice number 4, if you're getting out of Ziklag, verse 17, when he had brought him down, verse 16, they were spread abroad on all the earth. The enemy was down there rejoicing over the spoil, and they were drinking and reveling and dancing, and David, the Bible says in verse 17, smote them from the twilight even until the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. David smote them. You know, it's one thing to pursue a goal. It's another thing to carry through with its completion. David was a man after God's own heart, but what would he do with his pursuit? What was it Dr. Lakin used to say, Dr. B.R. Lakin, that old prince of preachers from down Fort Gay, West Virginia? He said, if you want to cut a skunk's tail off, he said, start right behind the ears. And that's exactly what David did. David encouraged himself in the Lord. I don't know what David said as he sat there, maybe in the ash heap. He thought, man, this is pretty bad. I've never been in this situation before. I'd better run and go. No, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Then he asked God. He inquired of the Lord. Then he pursued after them. And then number 4, he decided once he was there, he was going to defeat the enemy. When God shows you the enemy, why don't you let the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the plan of God and the Son of God to give you victory over that enemy? You say, what is it? It may be a besetting sin that you have in your life. It may be a sin that no one else knows about that you're battling in your life. Why don't you let God not only show it to you, but let God help you to smite it and to pursue it and to defeat it completely and rid it out of your life. It may not just be a besetting sin. It may be some battle that you have with a sin. I'm not ignorant enough to believe that everyone that comes here this morning, we shine up pretty good as Baptists, don't we? But across this crowd of people here this morning, I realize, and those of you that are watching by live stream, I realize there are many, many problems that people have. Many folks are battling. They're battling. This past year, it's just been a discouraging year, setback after setback. I think as someone wrote, 3 steps forward, 2 steps back. But the main thing is to stay in the battle. Let God give you a victory. Let God help you to cut the skunk's tail off right behind the ears. Keep battling. Identify the enemy and let God help you. Love not the world, he said, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the world, is not of God, but is of the world. He that does the will of God abideth forever, the Bible says. David smote them. David smote them. God's own heart, David was after, and he decided, I'm going to take care of this problem. But notice number 5, David recovered all. God gave him a complete victory. David recovered all. With the Amalekites, often it was not a rescue, it was a recovery. Sometimes, sadly, when people are searching, the EMS workers are searching for someone that's been in an accident or wandered away, they say it becomes more of a recovery than a rescue. It was a rescue and a recovery that God gave David. In verse 18, David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his 2 wives. He rescued them. Now, maybe you'd say David went back and he was counting noses. Who wanted to stone me? I don't think that wasn't David's attitude at all. David wanted to give God all the glory. And he went and recovered all. It might be that you say, preacher, I've ruined my testimony here today. I've ruined it. You can recover all. God can help you recover, and God can help you to be restored. God can help you to rejoice once again. But it all begins with encouraging yourself in the Lord. Now, you can encourage yourself out here with all of the doublespeak of the world and the humanism and all the garbage the world offers, or you can encourage yourself in the Lord your God. There's wisdom in searching and serving God. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his 2 wives. You say, well, what about all the spoil? I don't think David cared about the spoil. In fact, David, when they got all the spoil, he began to distribute it to everybody. And I like what he did. I want you to notice there were some Baptists in the group here. It says he recovered all, and David came to the 200 men, verse 21. The 400 men that had gone and fought, they said, we're not giving them anything, are we? David said, they said, we're not going to share of the spoil. They wouldn't go fight with us. The truth is, as I said before, these were mighty men of valor. If they didn't fight, there was a reason they didn't fight. David said, they're still part of us. David said, by the way, that's the way God does. One of these days, someone's going to get saved and the trumpet's going to sound. And we're all going to go to heaven. That person that's been saved 5 minutes and that person that's been saved 55 years, they're going to enjoy heaven just as much, both of them. Now, the one that's been saved 55 years, they're going to know a whole lot more about heaven. They've read, they've served, they've studied, they've sacrificed. This person that just came in at the last minute is still going to enjoy heaven. David here is a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't he? David said, no, we're sharing with all of them. Much later, when he came across the Jordan River some years later, and he was anointed king over a combined Judah and Israel, his enemies were standing at the bank. One of them had thrown stones at him. One of them had cursed him as he crossed the mountain there on the Mount of Olives. And Abishai had said, if you want me to, I'll kill him. David said, no, today no one's going to die. Today is a day of forgiveness. Next in line was Mephibosheth standing there on the creek bank. And he said, Mephibosheth, my adopted son, I heard that you'd gone with Absalom. He said, well, I made a mistake. David said, I forgive you. What a type of Christ. And here David said in verse 23, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. You know what David did? David gave God all the glory. David said, God did this. God did it. Here's the thing. He said, God did it with 400 men. We could have done it with 600. But he said, next time we go, we're putting the 200 on the front line. No, he didn't say that. But anyway, he said in verse 24, who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. Now, I know this is not talking about the judgment seat of Christ, but can I say this? There's going to be a day when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be, we're going to be judged for our service. The Bible says, if any man's works endure the fire of God's judgment, some who build on gold, silver, precious stones will receive a reward. Some wood, hay, and stubble will suffer loss, not loss of salvation, but loss of reward. But he says every man will be judged and be awarded or rewarded based on what sort, what motive he served God. There may be some widow who gave the two mites. Maybe she wasn't able to go soul winning. Maybe she wasn't able to drive a bus. And maybe she wasn't able to sing in the choir. And maybe she never got on the platform. But she's one that tarried by the stuff. Maybe there was someone that was handicapped and couldn't get out and serve the way they would like to do. Maybe there are some that are watching from home right now that are just unable to do what you want to do. But you're tearing by the stuff. I believe there'll be a day that you'll hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm not talking about those that just staying home, laying on the couch, drinking coffee, eating a donut, saying, preach it, preacher. I'm talking about those that are tarrying by the stuff. Tarrying by the stuff. David said, let's share it with all of them. And they did. And they did. Escaping Ziklag. We've all found ourselves at Ziklag. And we'll be there again. There'll be times that there'll be something go by our ear. Someone just slung a stone at us. Is that a good word, slung? I had English at Herbert Hoover. I'm not sure. Sling, slang, slung. And you say, who's throwing stones at me? Keep pursuing. Keep inquiring. Keep encouraging yourself. And God will help you to smite the enemy. God will help you to recover all. Preacher, can I get my joy back? Can I get the joy back that I once had? Yes, you can. You can recover all. You can recover all. Can I get my testimony back? Yes. There may be some scars on your life, but you can get your testimony back. God will still use you.